after watching this, I'm like, I'm never recommending it to anyone ever again.
Well, if you hate someone.
Yeah. Carter, go play Elden right now.
How do I leave?
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 219 of Literate Lessons. This is the second best intro you've heard in the last 2 weeks, and I'm joined here by Jay and Carter, all three of us, for an episode. Can you actually believe it?
I debated calling in. I want that to be known.
We were not going to let you for this one.
Every minute of every day, I debate calling in. But thank you for giving me the best intro prize. I appreciate it.
You were good last week. I enjoyed it. I was like, yeah, this was good. I bring the nice level of chaos to start out our episodes, but you guys, you were just straight to business last week. It was a very good listen.
I'm trying to think what you said something on Monday when the pod came out.
Oh yeah, because
Jay, I love the intro. Carter, explicitive.
Yeah, because you literally said that's the best intro that we've ever done, better than anything Angelo's done.
No, I said it's the best intro we've had since Angelo's been on. There's a difference.
Yeah, pretty much.
He just speaks facts. No fake stuff from this part of the town, alright? Not like them Toronto.
If you guys thought that this was a safe place from Drake and Kendrick, you are wrong.
Yeah, if you thought this was a safe place from me ruining our intro 5 seconds in by cursing and getting us blacklisted, you know?
You know, at least we don't share what happens before. Anyways, let's get to the Pokemon, because we did have an event this weekend. We had a major in Stockholm. And it was honestly a pretty fun time. It was a good watch, for the amount I've been able to watch. I know, Jay, you were able to send some stuff. Carter, you've been busy, so, you'll just be chugging along looking for the next Pikachu, for us to be talking about on stream.
Here's the problem with that. I don't have, lab mouse data to be able to dig through.
Yeah, I was looking through trying to find some wacky stuff. And in terms of, like, I mean, I've only really been looking at the restricted Pokemon, but there really wasn't anything too wacky. We've seen, like, the same 8 restricted Pokemon doing well as of late. So, yeah.
Do you want to talk about the restricteds before we talk about the non-restricteds for popularity?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Oh, does someone have an ice cream truck in the background?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's fine. I thought I was going crazy.
Same with me. I thought it was about to...
Softy's pulling up around here.
Hold on. I thought... Jay, go get us ice cream.
I would love to, honestly. Like, his milkshakes are out of this world. They're so good.
Yeah.
Speaking of cold, frosty treats, Calyrex Ice takes the number one spot this week in restricted Pokemon on day one.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of the day one usage we've seen. So Calyrex, again, being number one. Terapagos and Maridon. Well, Terapagos shooting up all the way to second. Maridon in third, tied with Calyrex Shadow, who, honestly, fraud watch a little on it. It's
no,
might
no,
not be.
No, I won't listen to it. I won't hear it. I won't listen to it. Just wait.
I am waiting. A newcomer with Zamazenta at 9%, Koridon in 6th, Kyogre and Groudon in 7th and 8th, and then Zacian and Lunala rounding out the top 10. Looking at Lunala specifically, at the start of the pre-format, when the format was announced, I had an inkling in the back of my mind that one Pokemon, one of these big, like, pre-regional grassroots teams, were going to be the Latias balance of this format, a team that did super, super well before anything actually mattered, and then dropped off the face of the earth. And I think it's Lunala. Lunala was a Pokemon that we put in high B tier for our tier list episode. Honestly, kind of contemplated it in A tier, or at least I did, as a potential A tier Pokemon. I thought it was a sleeper, and it was actually a zero. Just like how I thought Latias was a sleeper about 5 months ago, and then Latios won multiple regionals. What do I know?
Nothing.
No, I do. No, trust me, I know one thing, and I am riding it to the ground.
Oh, is it what your name is today?
It absolutely is.
A certain bird with a big.
It is, and we are. And before we get to our avian news, we are going to move to from day one to day two for the restricteds. What you can see here, the major change is the jump in Zamazenta with 25% usage, Calyrex Ice right behind it at 21.9%. And then we have Terapagos, Maridon, and Cali S. So the top five stayed the same. They just shuffled around in order. Actually, it was just Zamazenta jumping up to the front of the line. And then the bottom four restricteds, Coridon, Kyogre, Groudon, and Zacian, those were just single uses. I would like to note that this Stockholm was a smaller event. It was only a top 32, so I think 9 6-3s got in, and if you take away the 6-3s, then Calyrex Ice would shoot up to number one. Zamazenta would be, I think, either tied or only one ahead of Terapagos. There'd be no Coridon, no Kyogre, and I think it was like two of the four Cali S's were 6-3s. So some of these, these two here, to an extent, the Zamazenta, I'll get it right at some point. The usage overall for day two might have been a little inflated. They were on teams with records that wouldn't have made day two in other tournaments. But Zamazenta definitely held up to its number one spot. Anything you guys want to add to the restrictions, or do you want to just move on to my favorite avian news?
I think it is so funny. If you had shown me that Zamazenta was number one in usage a year ago, 3 years ago in the Sword and Shield era, I would have laughed at you and called you an idiot.
One person brought Zacian, only one Zacian and one Kyogre made the top.
After sitting through Series 12 and just watching Swordfish over and over and over, just to see literally anything else other than those two is so refreshing.
I think even just like a month or two ago, right before Red True. G started, like, I think Zamazenta was on nobody's radar. But as it turns out, Body Press is, like, a really good move. And when you give a Pokemon that when they come onto the field for the first time, their defense goes up one stage, and it does lots of damage. You know, who knew that was really good?
And, like, not only that, but you also, it's stab body press as well, so like
yeah
it's just and crazy because it got so nerfed going into this Scarlet and Violet format. It lost a ton of base stats. It can only activate on the first switch in it's a Dauntless Shield, and yet here it is, a Pokemon we didn't talk about at all outside of like the GS Cup formats as like a support Pokemon with like Howl or Coaching or Wide Guard and Behemoth Bash last game, now is here taking names.
I think the big thing as well for a single restricted format, the matchup spread it has is really great. It has a great matchup into the second and third most used restricted. It has an amazing matchup into those Pokemon. The big thing with these Maridon teams is that they have a lot of these really strong normal types in Frigirath and Blood Moon Ursaluna to help against the to help against the Calyrex Shadow matchup. While it doesn't have the high usage and doesn't have the results, I'm not putting it... the Fraud Watch was a little bit of a joke. It might not be the top S tier that we thought it was, but when you also look at the fact that pretty much every single team has 2 to 3 answers to it, Calyrex Shadow feels like a Pokemon that you either have no matchup into it and you get rolled by it, or you have an amazing matchup into it. And like what we saw last week a couple times in Indy, where Calyrex Shadow players couldn't even bring the Cali S to the game because their opponent brought 2 normal types and an Incineroar, and like these Maridon teams do. And it's like, okay, well, I can't do, I literally cannot do anything with my restricted Pokemon. Yeah. So with all of those normal and dark types, the fighting type that can't be intimidated because it uses body press, really good. An amazing format development and format call by the players in Stockholm. Now, for the Pokemon that supported these amazing restricteds, hey guys, Incineroar is good.
Oh, never could have guessed that one. Wow, that's so crazy.
What anyway. A surprise.
anyways, Amoongus has been around longer than every... Amoongus is older than every single junior player and a solid chunk of seniors, and it's still a good Pokemon, and it's another one that's never been bad. That's just crazy to think of. Same with Tornadus. Like, these are old Pokemon.
Hold
on. You're forgetting a Prankster and a Grass-type in that conversation as well. Whimsicott is just as old and just
as Jesus, good. I didn't even see it. Yeah, Whims is right there.
Okay. No, look, Whimsicott was nothing leading up until this restricted format. I feel like this is when Whimsicott has its time to shine, especially because it just won Indy as well. Like, Encore is such a busted move.
Yep.
It's so, so good. And I honestly do think that Whimsicott is better in this format than Tornadus is. But Whimsicott has had plenty of formats where it has not been great. Amoongus has just been...
Oh, yeah. Amoongus is dominant. Always
Amoongus
good.
Is... Yeah. Yeah, I do think that if we didn't get the genies in that Regulation D Pokemon home thing, if we didn't get the genies and we just had, like, for Regulation F, we just had Whimsicott as the new Prankster Tailwind Setter, I think it would have gotten significantly higher placements and a lot more usage. It's just that Tornadus, you're battling it out with that Prankster Tailwind slot. Exhibit also has this really great Bleak Windstorm, which hits super effectively into the Whimsicott. And it just synergizes very well with Pokemon like Urshifu Rapid Strike in fourth place in usage in order to set the Rain Dance. The Rain is also great for Rillaboom in fifth, getting rid of that water weak, getting rid of that fire weakness with the Rain. And honestly, the top 6-7, it's about what we expect. And then we get to the fun part. Ferrigraph is a Pokemon that we have seen a lot. It's something that everyone in Literate Lessons, we've all used it. We all like it. We all know what it does. And we all thought it would get even better with the restricted format. And then there is everyone's favorite Rain Setter, Pelipper. I've never been so proud of a bird. Honestly, I'm going to tell it, to peel the curtains, to look into the bit. I wasn't even a huge Pelipper fan. I hated using Pelipper on Rain teams. It's just the fact that the two of you just hate it so much made me like it even more. And it's not just you two, it's others. Shout out Chris. And me seeing this bird and like, yeah, this is good. This is going to be good for this format. And it just keeps on getting better and better results. It just warms my heart. And I'm a Pelipper stan. And I am looking forward to this Pokemon just being the menace, just the derpy, goofy-looking menace of Regulation G.
Just to clear the record, I don't hate Pelipper. I'm very neutral on it. I just don't think it's very good still. I know it's gone. It's been, you know, really high in usage. It's been doing big things and all that. But, like, Pelipper... as a Pokemon is bad.
Okay. Oh, the stats are awful.
It's bad. It's not RCT. So it's like it has one redeeming quality that these teams use. You know, and it's like,
a little more than one. The weather ball is the weather ball and hurricane. You're threatening the top two Pokemon offensively. You're able to pick up Incense, pick up Amoongus, pick up these fighting types and grass types we have here. Wide guard or tailwind, great text there. If you're a true sicko and you want to do double weather with one Pokemon, it gets Snowscape, so you can go and set the snow for your Calyrex Ice. Do not do that, by the way. Like, that's a step too far even for me.
I'm just, like...
It gets knockoff. Whenever I've
played Pelipper, if I see my opponent bring it, I'm like, oh, that's great. Thank you for that. Yeah, like...
Don't you have a Raging Bolt on your team?
No.
No? Oh. Huh.
No, my new team has Torkoal, but, like...
Okay, well, yeah, you're going... No, okay, but, no, you're but going I mean, even just slower.
Generally speaking, I've taken, like, you know, whenever teams I've been playing with, I see it, and I'm like, oh, okay, like, that's cool. Like, thank you for playing with three Pokemon this game.
I am not enjoying the slander, but we'll see. Another Pokemon that I'm actually very happy to see here as well is Ursula Blood Moon. Oh, good.
We're done talking about Pelipper. I can put my thumbs down.
This is one of my favorite Pokemon introduced in Generation 9, along with Ferrigraph. And it's a Pokemon that has a lot. It's had a lot of success ever since it's been introduced, but it's never made the top 12, a top 12 usage picture. There we go, picture. Graphic. That's what I was looking for. And just to see it on the graphic, it's really cool for me to see like one of my favorite Pokemon be very successful in this format.
Yeah, shout out Blood Moon. Thing's great. Speaking of Blood Moon, make sure you guys go watch UDL this week and next week and the week after.
Just keep watching it.
Just keep watching it, because Blood Moon, really cool.
Yeah, this Pokemon's the Pokemon with stats of a legendary is good. Who would have thought?
Yeah, speaking of Raging Bolts too. Raging Bolt up to 50% on day two.
Which is absolutely crazy. Wow, what's that? In third place in usage. Let me just...
Oh my gosh.
You guys seen that?
It just sets rain, okay?
You guys seen that?
I'm thinking about getting mad.
To add to my Pelipper slander, it has too many moves, so it doesn't run Protect. So all you do is you double into it, and it does nothing, okay? It does nothing. You click Grassy Glide plus another move, and it's gone. And it's like, okay, that's great. Amazing. Thank you for that. Sure, you might have done something else with your other Pokemon, but I'm having a great time because I'm still outspeeding you. You're down to three Pokemon. It took me one turn to knock your guy out, and that's it. That's it. If you want to switch the Pokemon in for it, cool. You're taking a nice little double up, a nice cheeky double up. All right, this thing is not good. Okay, I know I'm slandering it, even though spoiler alert, it won this week, but it stinks. Yes, it did. It stinks. Michael did not bring it like a single time on stream. Not once, okay? It gets eaten by Raging Bolt. It gets eaten by Maridon. It gets eaten by Rillaboom. It doesn't take a Surging Strikes particularly well.
No, it does not. It
doesn't take a Moonblast well. It doesn't take a Bleak Windstorm. It doesn't take a Blood Moon or a Hyper Voice. It doesn't take a Wicked Blow. This thing stinks.
I love it, though.
Rant over.
I love it, though. One thing, a Pokemon that I saw some interesting sets with that has dropped in usage but is still up there is Fluttermane. I didn't see it as much in day two, but on day one, there were a few sets where people were running Thunder Wave on their Fluttermane. Whether it was, I believe there was one Flutter I saw that ran Thunder Wave and Taunt. It was a full support Fluttermane. So the way this Pokemon's being used right now, depending on the team comp, it seems like it's really changing from the spec sweeper that was the menace of regulations B through E into now this all-encompassing, could be a support mon, could be a sweeper, could be a mix of both, a speed control mon. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, definitely much more supportive. A lot of them running like booster speed, icy wind.
Yeah.
I do want to say that I think that in this format, if we had a certain fairy type deer boosting its fairy type moves, I think that this would be like still clicking choice specs, Dazzling Gleams and Moonblast left, right, and center.
Yeah, don't just wait until Legends ZA comes out next year, and we'll be getting Primal Xerneas
Fairy, it's going to be like Desolate Fairy Aura or something, and it's just going to turn off all Dark-type moves or something.
Yeah, it's going to turn off all Dark-types.
It's going to say Incineroar can't enter the battlefield.
Yep, and then it's also going to set permanent Misty Terrain to just ruin Umungus.
Oh my gosh. It's gonna be Xerneas plus Tapu Fini all in one.
Carl, clip this so when it happens in like a year, we can say that we were first. moving on, speaking of dark types that weren't allowed on this list, one thing to note is that, as you can see, spots 9 through 12 are all the same usage, a tie. There were actually 6 Pokemon tied for this usage spot. The dark types Chiyu and Moltres G, for some reason, didn't make the list. I don't know how they put this together and do those tiebreakers. It's clearly not alphabetical. I think
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, who knows?
I literally, like...
The ones from day one and
that's honestly what I think
graphics
it...
Made.
That's honestly what I think it was. But that we do have those two dark types do well in the event, and just as well as the bottom four here, which means that, like, three of the top 14 Mons were these dark types, along with the Darkfu. So... 12 of the 32 teams were using at least one more dark type along with Incineroar, which again shows why Calyrex Shadow was having such a difficult time. At this point, every single team has a dark type, and there's going to be teams that have multiple dark types on them, which just makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, I think that over time, the dark types are going to drop off as Calyrex Shadow drops off a little bit. So I definitely think that around now, the time is to buy into the Cali Shadow stocks. I think it's going to start doing well. But also, just speaking on it for a second, I know Nails, I believe, made a post about it going into detail on why it's struggling so much. And it will absolutely be back in a GS Cup format. Do not doubt that. But I do think that Cali Shadow's time is coming very soon.
Yeah, it's not a Pokemon. Yeah, that it's like, oh, it's bad. It's going to be good. I do think that we might have overhyped it a little more than we should have going into it. But, you know, it's how things are.
It was so good early format, though. It was that good that all teams started having 2-3 answers for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we overhyped it, honestly. Like, I stand on business, right? Cali Shadow's not like us. Cali Shadow's different.
Yeah. Well, going into what the standings looked like, we can see the teams that went and made it. So we have 2 Zamazenta teams, 2 Maridon teams, 2 Terapagos teams, and 2 Cali I teams. So the top 4 restricteds in usage for day 2 each got 2 representatives in the top 8. Congratulations to Michael Kelsch, who is the current world's runner-up, taking his first major win, I believe, using a team that a player named Keanu went and piloted back last week to a top 8 finish. And we also see that Donald Smith ran pretty much the exact same team as well. We're going to pull up Michael's team right now, featuring a Terra Fairy Rocky Helmet Pelipper with the Wide Guard and Protect, a Soul Dew Terra Steel Latios, Black Glasses Terra Dark, Tailwind Moltres G, Ghost Terra Champao, a Choice Band Terra Grass Rillaboom, and the star of the show, Zamazenta. This is a very, very good team that is picked to pretty much, like, this is the anti-meta team. You have great matchups into everything. The Rillaboom lets you get your matchup into the Kyogre. Moltres helps with the Moltres and Champao help with the Kali S. Zamazenta is your matchup into Terapagos and Terapagos and Kali I. Rillaboom also helps with Maridon, and like Latios and Pelipper are just really great Pokemon to have right now.
Yeah, I know we talked about this team last week a little bit. We didn't have all the details on the OTS or anything, but this team is just, it's really, really cool. I mean, the Moltres Galar is something that's really interesting to me. It's one of my favorite Pokemon in recent years. I think that it's awesome, and this set makes a lot of sense because it helps with that Kali S matchup, but it also does a lot into the Kali I matchup.
Yeah, you
know, this is like a similar idea to like the King Gambit that's been running around for the past few, series and regulations, and you're running the foul play on it, which can allow you to do a lot of damage to the Kali Eyes. If they end up picking up a KO onto something like a Rillaboom, with a Glacial Lance, you get this really strong foul play, and then you also, if you go down below half health, you then get your boosted Fiery Wrath. At plus one, I think that, you know, there's a lot of unique Pokemon here. The Latios is something that we weren't really expecting to see anywhere near, a top eight, and now we've seen it three times. But yeah, this team is awesome. Shout out to Mikael Kelch on the win. We had a showdown strongest sorcerer versus the in-game ladder's strongest sorcerer in the.
Yes.
In the finals today, so.
This is the second. So we did have other majors, other special events in the LATAM area. I do believe that Terapagos did win one of those, but in North America and in Europe, that's two straight weeks where Choice Specs Terapagos is the bridesmaid, never the bride. Joji coming in second place with the Specs Terapagos team. It's very similar six to the team that Andrew Zhang ran last week to come in second place. The main difference being Joji went and dropped the Scarfed Urshifu Rapid Strike and the rain mode of the team into adding a scary face to his Tornadus and using Ogre Pond Cornerstone as a secondary redirector.
It's my chance to be right now. Angelo had his chance.
Yep.
Now we get to talk about a good mon.
Y'all have been sleeping on Ogre Pond Cornerstone, and I said, don't sleep on it.
I'm just saying,
it's here, brother.
I'm going to take a little bit from this. I did say, I think it was like our Reg E. It was either a Reg E or Reg F, like a three Pokemon that you think should be better, and I did pick Ogre Pond Cornerstone. Yeah. I'm pulling my hipster card. I was there before you. I also lost hope, so you can be more right.
I mean, I don't know. I think when we made that tier list, I had drafted it on the UDL team.
Yeah, you did.
It was right around that same time. I know you went on your geology expedition about rocks.
Rock facts.
I mean, you get two focus sashes on every team with it, right?
So yeah.
You have the sturdy, you have the 100% accurate rock move, which is really great neutral typing into so many things. Its speed stat is really, really good. And you have multiple forms of redirection on the team as well, which really helps to support the Choice Specs Terapagos. Yes, Terapagos didn't get its win this week. I think it was a couple Chiyu misses away from doing so.
Just love your Pokemon more, guys. Just love your Pokemon more. It's all you have to do.
As someone who used a team with both Chiyu and Ogre Pond Cornerstone on it, I understand the frustration of missing your Heat Waves, your Overheats, and your Snarls, and your yada yadas. This team has a lot of moves that can miss on it between the Bleak Wind Storms, the Icy Winds, the Heat Waves, the Overheats, the Power Whips. It's something that you kind of just have to live with.
When even the hyper beams.
Pokemon. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, and I do feel bad for Joji because I think he played incredibly well in the final set to after Mikael took a really great lead early on, and then he just had some really unfortunate misses that were really, really game defining. But that's the game we play. You know, it's what you buy into when you're using these strong spread moves that can miss and such. So
I think the Chiyu on the team is a really nice move, to be quite honest. I think for like these drop ghost teams in general, it's kind of necessary at this point. We already mentioned it. Zamazenta is a very difficult matchup for Terapagos. Being able to, especially if you're running... Now, Mikael didn't run the Iron Defense set, but especially the Iron Defense set, you can just get an Iron Defense up, and then your Body Press is one-shotting the Terapagos, and it's doing, even through the Terror Shell, it's doing a ton of damage. Chiyu really helps to threaten it. Once you get some speed control up, you're able to threaten that overheat. A lot of these Zamazentas are running Terra Grass to help with the Amoongus matchup. So having a very, very powerful move that it can't Terra its way out of is really great. It's just, you know, hitting them. The other thing I've noticed with like the Ogerpon Cornerstone is with these hyper offensive teams, or like more offensive teams in general, a lot of them don't have the best switchability. This team does have a Moongus, which is a great sponge defensively, but Chi, you don't want to lose the Sash. Flutter, you don't want to, like, it's frail. Tornadus isn't the best for that either. And on a team like this that doesn't have a ton of defensive switch-ins like a balanced team would, saying, okay, I have two Sashes, or at least specifically a Mon where I don't care if the Sash is broken on the Cornerstone. It's not, I think the most integral part it brings to the team is being a safe switch-in that doesn't just immediately fall.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to protect like the Terapagos from a fake out early on.
Yeah.
Which, speaking on the Turtle, I really have liked the adaptation towards the Choice Spec sets. I know early format we saw a lot of the Calm Mind variants running around. That was kind of the big move on that. But these Choice Spec stats, especially next to the Chiyu, just do some unreal amounts of damage. And we saw, I was thinking it was in the top four match against Marco Silva. They had already burned their Stellar, you know, boost on the Terra Starstorm, but then switched in the Chiyu and was able to pick up a Kali Eye from around a little,
it was 60%
half health. Yeah,
it was 60-ish percent.
A big chunk, and it's just ridiculous damage. It was just really, really awesome to see. I mean, you're most of the time just spamming your Terra Starstorm moves, but like with its different forms as well, it has so many unique ways to play. You can protect yourself with your Terra Shell, and you have your single targets Terra Starstorms, or you can Terra, get a bigger HP pool, increase your HP percentage, and then also, have those spread Terra Starstorms.
Yeah. No, it's a very, very fun Pokemon. It's something that I was testing. I've moved off it for another Pokemon that we will be talking about, but it's something I do want to get back to, and I have like the ideas for like Specs Terapagos or Terapagos in general in the back of my head. As you all know, I love turtles, so to see the Turtlemon do really well is really cool. Speaking of Marco Silva, though, he ran a... this is probably the closest we've gotten to seeing a balanced team in this regulation so far. You have the Clamulet Kali Eye, the Sash Darkfu, Nastiplot Goldengo with a Terra Normal, which I find very fascinating, Terra Electric Raging Bolt with the Assault Vest, Rocky Helmet Amoongus, and the classic Citrus Berry Terra Ghost Incineroar. The first Incineroar that we've seen, so Incineroar did not make finals for this event.
Which is first Incin and Raging Bolt.
But, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah. Actually, I'm looking at it. Only two Incineroars in top eight, and it was both the Kalii players.
That's pretty crazy, honestly.
That's pretty nuts. Yeah. It's not even running the fire coverage. It's running double support move with both Taunt and Parting Shot, along with Knockoff, which, with the way the format's playing, you're getting a lot more mileage out of Knockoff than you will with Flare Blitz right now.
Yeah. The instant set makes sense. It's a way to stop, you know, Wide Guard and opposing, like, Imprisoned Trick Room stuff or Trick Room counters. I do love the Terra Normal Goldie here.
I think that's really cool.
Like, early format, we saw a couple of teams by some players that were running, like, Terra Normal Kalii Shadow and so on, and, like, a lot of ghost types with Terra Normal. I've run into my fair share of Terra Normal Fluttermane as well, but it actually makes a lot of sense because your one weakness in the normal type is an immunity in your normal typing, and one of your big weaknesses in ghost in your regular typing is an immunity in your Terra type. So it's like a really just great defensive synergy on that.
Definitely. It makes a lot of sense. I'm surprised we haven't seen this more standard before. Because, you know, like the go-to there for a while was Dragon, and, you know, we've seen like Steel and everything else. So I'm really interested to see this transition to Terra Normal.
I think it really is solely for the Calyrex Shadow, because they had, like, that matchup is there. So it's going to be something that you're going to see a lot. I think Fluttermane was a situation where you could play around it. In the grand scheme of things with Fluttermane, a lot of the time it honestly didn't even want to click its ghost type attack. We saw it more so in Regulation.
Yeah, it was a fairy spam bot.
It was.
Yeah.
And so now we have a ghost type that wants to be a ghost type. And so being a normal type is just so much better for this metagame. I also think one of the nice things is that Goldengo, especially the set of Goldengo, without terroring, is really good into the Zamazenta. You can't get body pressed, and you resist the heavy slam. You're able to set up in front of it with a nasty with the nasty plots, and really just target it down with a really big shadow ball. So that's like another thing where, when you look at a lot of the Pokemon that give Calyrex ice issues, namely the Zamazenta and the Kyogre, you see the Goldengo here to help against the Zamazenta matchup, and the Raging Bolt to help against the Kyogre matchup. So Marco's understanding, hey, I have like this balanced duo here. Urshifu's good on everything, and again, it's great into Calyrex, another Pokemon that's great into Calyrex Shadow. Let me use my last two spots to get Pokemon, specifically teching them for a bad matchup that I'm probably going to come up against, so I actually can do like a 50-50 into this, or maybe even gain a slight edge on it compared to saying, well, I lose. So that's just another thing with this team, a very well-built team that I found interesting. Moving on to our fourth different restricted, the top four was four different Pokemon for the
is
restricted
that
slot.
Hands?
That is Brian Hands.
It is.
He is back from summer vacation. He's back from his winter vacation. Look at him.
He looks the same.
Yeah, he does.
I expected him to lose a little weight, but.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
He was on vacation, my brother. Everyone
That's
puts
fair.
On weight.
That's Everyone fair. I do nothing but gain weight when I go on vacation. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. This team is like very similar to Rashaan Ball's team from
Maridon Fox. I'm just gonna say it. This Pokemon's so good. Like, why did we put it in B tier? How dumb
not
are we?
I want that to be known. I tried to argue for it. And if not, I definitely thought I tried to.
I Our reasoning was sound.
It was.
We see the choice specs variant running around very often when we were making our tier list. And so because of that, it didn't have that offensive pressure. Also, the team that's built around it now with this Encore Whimsicott, the Ferrigarath, the Ursaluna Blood Moon specifically, wasn't a thing yet either. So it was very exploitable by Pokemon like Rillaboom and Indeedee and so on. So
I will go and add this in about, I want to say it was like 3-ish weeks ago, Hush and I were talking, and he said to me, what if, because we were trying to work with Ursaluna and Ferrigarath, and the big issue we were running into initially with Calyrex, we were using it with Calyrex Ice, and the big issue we were running into was Tapu Fini's not in the game, and the entire team was just lose to Amoongus.
Yeah.
And so he went and said, well, what if we run these two with Maridon? And we tried it, and it wasn't, the way we built it wasn't enough. And we were like, hey, let's just shelve this. We'll come back to it with GS Cup, and we can use these three here plus Calyrex Ice. And then Indianapolis and Rajon Ball happens. And we looked at it, we're like, okay, we're getting back in the kitchen right now. Because we had something that was good, and then we let it. We didn't know how to do it, and I think that was the big thing with Maridon, is that I think there was no. It was a good Pokemon, but no one knew how to build around it because it's such a unique Pokemon. The way its stats are, the way it does its damage, it's so different from everything else we've been using in Scarlet and Violet, and even for other restricteds. So we didn't know how to build it, and. These
very
four
hard
here,
to use too.
It is a difficult mon to use. I mean, it is click buttony, but at the same time, you have to really understand your positioning. If you get out of position, you volt switch when you're supposed to electro drift. You electro drift when you're supposed to discharge. You use an electric move when you should have Draco Meteor to just get rid of something immediately. And like I've been using a very similar six on cart recently. And I lost a game because I didn't position anything well, lost the Ursaluna for nothing, and got into an endgame state where my Terra'd electric Maridon was locked into discharge against a non-Terra'd Maridon who was able to just Draco Meteor into me and pick me up because I couldn't get them. You have to really, on the other end, I was able to play a mirror where I got their Maridon up against my Whimsicott and my Ursaluna, non-Terra'd, and they just literally couldn't win because it's lock into the electric move, can't hit Ursaluna, or lock into the dragon move, can't hit Whimsicott. So it's a lot. The Iron Hands is an inch, I think this is, it's definitely for the mirror with the Ice Punch. You keep the fake out, you keep the volt switch for the pivot, and you just trade away better coverage and a stronger attack stat
The idea here is Intimidate. You're pairing this next to Maridon. You don't need electric coverage on your Iron Hands when Maridon exists. So drop the Wild Charge for Ice Punch, now you line up better into opposing Maridons. It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Your Volt Switch allows you to pivot out. We saw Matt make a play to where they were trying to pivot the Iron Hands out to while the Ferrigarath set Trick Room. But unfortunately, the Ferrigarath actually was not able to take the double up as it did in the earlier games. And it also gives you another way to pivot in the Maridon to reset your terrain and get it boosted in that way. This team, like we've been saying, is very positional based. I can't tell you how many Maridon teams I've played in a row on ladder in the past couple of days. And, I started a new account and I've been playing on the lower ladder and like, they just do not understand how to position this Pokemon properly. And it becomes a very easy game if this Pokemon is out of position, but. Yep. When you play it really well, you get into good positioning. You pivot it around nicely. You get it in next to the Ferrigarath, and you get with the Electric Seed, or you put it next to your Ogerpon or your Ursaluna, and you're just spamming these extremely strong moves in the right position, and it's just game over sometimes too.
Yeah. Different. So along with the Iron Hands, the other difference between Rajan's team and Matt's team is the Ogerpon Wellspring. One of the issues with adding in Iron Hands is doubling down on the ground weakness. So adding in the Ogerpon Wellspring really helps with that ground weakness. I mean, you now that I think of it, you still have that with the Incineroar, but Incineroar can intimidate and mitigate damage better while the Iron Hands really can't. Wellspring, it definitely is a good call. It can also help it. Not like this team needs help against Kyogre, but it does bolster that matchup a little bit. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of Wellspring on this team, which is weird because in general, if you had to name my top three Gen 9 Pokemon, it's these three right here: Wellspring, Ursaluna, Fruigraf. I love all three of them, but I'm just in general, I think Cornerstone or Heartflame are just better. Ogerpons for this team comp. The fire type specifically would be really nice to have in this spot, and that is exactly what Frederick Nielsen thought. Running the same six, well, five of the same six as Matt Maynard was. The key differences being a Terrifier Iron Hand with the clear amulet instead of the assault vest. And a Scarf Terra Ground Chi Yu over the Ogerpon slot. Kind of the same thought process as playing Chi Yu with Chi Yu Torn with the Specs Terrapagos. When you think of the amount of multipliers that you already have, and then you just throw in Beads of Ruin, throw the type chart out. Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't exist.
Even immunities are getting KO'd by this thing. Right?
Yeah, if you get the Terra Electric, Hadron Engine, Terrain, Electrodrift with the Specs and the Maridon and the Beads of Ruin, it's like the episode of Pokemon when Pikachu went and was able to Thundershock a Rhydon. It's like that hit the horn moment. That is your hit the horn moment.
It doesn't matter. I think it's more like the Porygon episode where the viewers were getting...
Oh no!
The viewers were feeling that, man.
Oh my lord. What is this episode, man?
Oh, this is
you guys got mentally unhinged Jay this week, right?
Oh, this is
I
great.
Love mentally unhinged Jay.
This is great.
I'm real messy this week, so yeah, I mean, yeah, type chart, all of it's just gone. Like we used to make jokes about the choice specs over Heat and Sun with the Helping Hand boost with the Chi Yu. But like Maridon doesn't need the Helping Hand boost for it, but you also still get it with the Frigraph. Like, yep. you just do.
It's right there.
You have so many ways to boost the power. I do like the Terra Ground on the GU here, just because you can do spread spam with Discharge Heat Wave and Oko everything that walks.
Also, I said this was the same. I can't read. That's a Tornadus, not a Whimsicott. So definitely different Pokemon there. Still both Terra Ground. They click Tailwind. Torn has Torn carries Taunt over the Encore. So that could be cool into like having to deal with other redirection Pokemon, trying to stop other Tailwinds from coming up with the Prankster Taunt. So different but interesting. Honestly, it gives a ground immunity to this team, which is a really nice change to it. So, moving on to another team that we've actually, the exact six that we've seen. Not that we have to go over this one too much, because I just realized it was the exact, this one actually is the exact six, mm-hmm. down to the Terra Normal and the Goldengo. Lorenzo, Alimagna, again, Calyrex Ice Balance. I think this is just the way that the team is, like the current Cali I teams are going to look. Of course, could it be updated with everyone knowing, like, hey, this is, like, where the meta is, sure. I think that the Amoongus and Incin are the set spots, and then these three here are just going to be, depending on the meta, depending on the matchups that you're going to be going up against, that's where you can change things up. I know, like, last week, a lot of the Americans were putting Pelipper in these spots. We saw Waterfu. So maybe it's depending on, again, the region and where things are at. We have another exact six here in Donald Smith. Donald actually played Michael Kelsch on stream, and the only difference between the two teams were that Donald had a slower, more defensive Zamazenta than Michael. While that match was on, I was actually able to talk to Keanu, who originally piloted the team, and I asked him, I'm like, in the mirror, is it literally just who's, like, it? Because they brought the top four Pokemon to each, both of them brought the top four to each game, and the mirror between these two teams literally comes down to which Latios wins the speed tie and hits the Draco Meteor on the other Latios. Because with the three games, it came down to game one, Donald's Latios won the speed tie. He gets into the 3v2, he wins. And then games two and three, Michael won the speed tie and won those games. So it's, sadly, with such a cool team, the watching the mirror is actually really not, like, it's anticlimactic, because you just know it's a literal coin flip decides who wins. But at this level of play and knowing those lines, that's sometimes how it goes.
Yeah. The only other difference on this team as well is that the Pelipper, instead of running the Weather Ball, is actually running Muddy Water here.
Yeah.
I think that's a unique change.
I think Weather Ball's still better.
I like the consistency of Weather Ball. I also like the single target power you get out of it. But Muddy Water's cool. It's a fun way around the Amoongus outside of your Terra Grass, which I believe the other Pelipper was Terra Fairy.
It was Terra Fairy. So yeah, the Terras there were different. And then again, just from watching it, you could just tell from the damage cals and the speed that Donald just ran a slower, bulkier Zamazenta. But it's like the Latioses were the same. Rillabooms were the same. The Chienpaos were the same, and at least for the mirror match, you don't bring Moltres, apparently, because it never came in any of those matches, which was a shame. I did want to see the Moltres in action this weekend, and at least in the stream matches I was able to catch, I never saw the Moltres in action.
Yeah, which, didn't come out in any stream match. They did say that at the end of the run,
yeah,
which is unfortunate. I would have loved to have seen it too.
Such a cool Pokemon. The final team, we're going to finish off with another Terapagos team, ran by Nils Dunlop, who I am very shocked they let near a hot mic at all this week after EUIC. This is very similar to the Regidrago Tailwind teams of Regulations E and F, and to a bit in Regulation D as well. Nils ran Regidrago to win EUIC and ended up coming back to it to finish top 8 at Stockholm. What I really like about Terapagos in general is the fact that you have the team that we saw Nails, Andrew, and this week Joji, they all ran it, like that version of the Specs Terapagos, and then you're also able to go and have Nils's version, which has like only one or two of the only Pokemon that are the same are the Terapagos, and depending on the version of the team, Urshifu, and then everything else is just completely different. Like, they don't have Indeedee, they don't have another sweeper as powerful as Regidrago, or even like the Ogerpon Heartflame on the physical side.
Yeah, this team here is awesome. Like the Regidrago stuff is really cool. I really enjoy that. The Whimsicott here makes a lot of sense as well. I like the shift from the Dark Pulse to the Flamethrower on the Terapagos as well. It helps a little bit more into your Zamazenta matchup, considering you can go Terra Grass. The majority of them are running that Terra Grass. And yeah, I mean, you got a lot of awesome options to go with. You still have your double redirection. You still have your Tailwind. You still have, you know, a secondary spread damage sweeper. But, you know, everything is so different here as well that it's really cool to see that Terapagos has such fluid team slots with it.
Yeah. I think the Indeedee is super interesting. It really helps with the Mirana matchup by not only by sending the terrain, and it's also a switch in. One of the things I noticed with the Specs Terapagos is that with all the fake out in the format, there will be turns where you just can't do anything to it because you're either switching it to try to avoid the Terra Shell break that the fake out might cause, and to have something like Indeedee to put up the Psychic Surge to protect against fake out, I think that tech, whether it's Indeedee or it's something like Serena or Ferrigraph, you might see that start popping up more with the Specs Terapagos in order to be able to start doing its thing. Because like the fake out can put you a turn behind. And with where the format's at, I mean, when Europe is running a lot these offensive teams, you know it's an offensive format.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Indeedee could be a nice tech to buy yourself a turn instead of losing a turn.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of like priority spam as well from Chi and Pao being like a real game changer as well. Fake out obviously is still massive, and having this way to not only deter those priority moves when your you know fake out stopper, your priority stopper is on the field, but also after it either switches out or gets KO'd is really nice. Psychic terrain is a really beneficial terrain for specifically that reason. Just being able to prevent priority is massive. And Nils doesn't have any priority outside of Aqua Jet from Urshifu.
Yeah.
So Encore from Whimsicott to a lesser extent. But, you know, it just gives you so many options to play around the Terapagos, even if it's bring your Indeedee in on turn one and lead it next to the Terapagos and then switch it out and save it for later for, like, a better defensive switch in or to, you know, bring in something to take hold of that pressure. I really like this team.
Yeah, no, this is, again, super fun. And I think you might start seeing merges of all these different parts of the Terapagos teams into a single team, or at least parts of it. So that is our top eight. Congratulations to all of the players. Do either of you have like any other interesting teams to pull up that you want to pull up before we head out?
I did some polling here while we were looking. I have four of them. We don't have to get to all of them.
Okay, give me the first one.
Aurelion Sola?
Okay, I actually had Aurelion's team. Oh, I had it up. Let me pull that up.
Village.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aurelion also ran the Terapagos. This one with the Sleep Talk, which I really like. Specifically for this team, because he doesn't have any grass types to... Actually, no grass types or Terra Grass. So without Sleep Top, Amoongus would just run through this team. That is a fake Tears Fluttermane, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple of times on ladder lately. Very interesting. I don't love dropping Shadow Ball, to be fair. I know we've had this conversation a couple of times.
I'm okay with it. But yeah, you're right. And it's not the only, like, we saw the Thunder Wave as well on some of the Fluttermanes. It's definitely interesting. What does, like, I'm assuming after a bulk up, Cerulean just picking up Kali Shadow with a Shadow Sneak. But you already have Dark Pulse Terapagos and Dark Fu, so I'm not really picking up, like, why Aurelion said, yes, Cerulege is the Mon.
Well, this team has a very bad matchup into Amoongus, like you were saying.
And so just having the fire type in general.
Strong fire type move. And then you can pin it down with, like, Terapagos, with your Terra Star Storms to get to basically say, if you Terra out of your Bitter Blade weakness, you're gonna take a massive Terra Star Storm. Shadow Sneak also helps against, I guess, Trick Room matchups as a secondary way to attack into Calyrex Ice Rider. I'm not saying that this is the meta call or anything, but I'm just trying to also, you know.
Well, so I agree with where you were going with, like, the Amoongus, and then I thought, well, we have, like, we've seen it in cut, Chiyu in that slot.
This is also an amazing Koridon answer.
That honestly could be, actually, I think that, and also with it, I'm looking at, actually, that does make a lot more sense now. The other thing that's good is it's a good Zamazenta answer. Zamazenta's a steel type that's running. We figured it out, boys.
Zamazenta, Zacian, Koridon.
Yeah, this actually, I knew we'd work it through.
Shadow to an extent.
This is a cool Mon. I honestly, this Mon, seeing this Cerulege right here is really why I love these restricted formats. Everyone focuses so much on the powerful restricted Pokemon that they're missing that this is like the format where Cerulege is on a top 16 team and it's a good call. Or like, again, Serena's being used. Pelipper won the event. Pelipper, Latios, and Moltres G won the event. That wasn't happening a month ago.
No, so not at all.
This is the fun. Okay, give me the next one.
I have Patrick Dawson. Also a top 16.
Yeah, this team is awesome. Como Smeargle.
Okay, so when I saw this team yesterday on Pokedata, for some reason they only put up the base Calyrex sprite.
Yes.
And I just took a quick glance, and I thought a base Calyrex Smeargle Como team made day two, and I had no idea what the hell planet I was on.
That's what I was saying before the pod tonight, that what they had loaded up was all the base Calyrex, but you have to click into it to see the Astral Barrage on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this team is really, really cool. You have another Iron Defense Body Presser. Como here.
Throat Chop.
Yeah, it's, I guess, a good answer into Cali Shadow. I don't think it's a great answer, but...
So,
answer.
It's an answer, but I think the other nice thing is into the Snorlmons and... Which
Parting Shot.
Patrick has. Yeah, and the Parting Shot Mons. You're stopping that, and I think that is super useful. I always love it when people use the plates over the other... over, like, the initial items. So, style points for Patrick there. Smeargle's one of my absolute favorite Pokemon, so I love seeing Smeargle.
You're a monster. You need help.
No, it's in my closet. I was going to pull out. Aaron got me a Smeargle sitting cutie a few years back, and it would be one of my buddies when I would go to a tournament. Also, we have the AV Incin here with, again, no fire type coverage, going with the double dark coverage with Snarl and Knockoff. So people really aren't valuing that fire type coverage on the Incineroar right now.
Yeah, I think also on this team, like running the Terra Ghost Cali Shadow, you need to have your Cali Shadow answers ready. Yeah. So something like Snarl is really, really important. Something interesting on this team as well is that they're running Calm Mind Calyrex Shadow.
Instead of the Nasty Plot.
Which I think is pretty cool.
It is interesting when you have, like, the Calm Mind, usually when you're going with Calm Mind over Nasty Plot, you'd have, like, Lefties as an item, or you'd see Rillaboom, or you'd have, like, an Amoongus for Pollen Puff recovery, and you don't have any recovery on this team at all. So it's interesting that he went with that over the nasty plot.
No draining kiss either. Yeah, which is unique, but I do like that. I do like the calm mind at the very least. You know, item wise, support mon wise, I think there's a couple of changes that could potentially happen to, you know, improve its longevity, but I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah. So Carter, third one.
Wait, I have one.
Okay. Oh, yeah, fire.
Teemu Mankinen, which is just underneath Aurelion on the Top Cut Explorer. We have Grimmsnarl, Fissure Ting Lu, Milotic, Moltres G, Kalaeye, and Amoongus.
So this was the only Moltres. So 4 Moltres G made day 2. 3 of them were on the Keanu comp that like Donald Smith and Michael used to win the event with. This is the only one who wasn't on that comp and didn't expect. Does he know it's... I mean, exclude the fact that Ting Lu is like a Gen 9 Pokemon. He knows it's not 2022, right? With the trick Wagondale. Like, he knows we play on Scarlet and Violet and not on Sword and Shield.
I like it.
I mean, if it's good, it's good.
I didn't know that Milotic knew Safeguard. I love that. Safeguard's one of my absolute favorite moves. And to have that...
what's great, it's a Safeguard and Hypnosis.
and this team was on stream, I believe, in day 1, and they hit all of their Hypnosis.
What the heck?
Yeah,
Carter.
Carter.
Carter is in pain right now.
Carter, have you tried loving your Pokemon? Have you tried loving your Pokemon?
They tricked a Lagging Tail onto Clefairy and took its Eviolite away from it. But, like, the Lagging Tail is specifically cool on this team because you can take your matchups against, like, Calyrex Shadow and the other extremely fast restricted Pokemon and then just let your Kalaeye go to work.
Yeah.
And also spam Hypnosis and Fissure.
Yeah.
I'm all for spamming moves that might work eventually.
At some point. In RTT the other day, someone ran Munchlax with Stockpile, Sleep Talk, Fissure, and they hit 90% of their Fissures.
That's so funny. I respect it so much.
Yeah.
Shout out Eon on that one.
So, like, the Ting Lu Calyrex Ice, that was when everyone was freaking out about how do we beat Maraidon. This duo here is what people thought went to initially. It was like what did Carl call it? The like flashy thumbnail for the YouTube video was like, this is how you beat the best team in the game right now. And it would be these two. Teemu does have the highest placing, Ting Lu. It did not have a great weekend in general. But yeah, this is a super interesting team. It's with the amount of dark types, it is definitely a Calyrex Shadow hate team. But you also have other ways, like the Milotic's really, really great at stopping all damage and speed reduction with the competitive, and it's also a way for you to protect your Calyrex Ice from the spores with safeguard, along with protecting it from burn. A lot of the, like, we did see some Will-O-Wisp Chiyu. Of course, Will-O-Wisp on Incineroar isn't, I wouldn't say common, but it's notable enough where you have to protect against it, and the Milotic really helps there. And I just realized that it's Terra Dragon Calyrex Ice.
That makes sense.
Haven't seen that.
I haven't either, but I like it.
Yeah, I mean, resistance-wise, like,
yeah, you get the
great defensive type.
Yeah, and actually, it's one of 2 Terra Dragon Mons on the team. Grim being a dragon, like, we've seen fairies go Terra Dragon before.
To be fair, I don't particularly care for it on Grim. Like, you're still weak to fairy. So, like...
You are? Yeah.
I think it's specifically for, like, Maraidon.
Right? I mean, if so, that makes sense, but, like...
Yeah.
I've played my fair share of Grimm. I don't think I've ever terrored it. So, like, it's probably a minor optimization for less than a tenth of a percentage point. You know, like...
Yeah, but I mean, specifically on, like, the Cali Eye, I think it's really great.
Yeah, that one I do like.
Because on top of the fire weakness, you're also now resisting the Maridon Electrodrifts, which is the strongest move that it potentially has, right?
Like, yeah. Well,
Draco Meteor is great one time, and then... But it doesn't get all those multipliers from the Terra Electric and the Terrain and all that, so...
Yeah, when you factor in when you factor in all the multipliers, like, the strongest is the Electrodrift, and to have a resist there, and honestly, just to be able to resist the general balance Mons, or just, like, those main elemental Mons, you're now gaining, like, a resist into Chiyu, a resist into Fire Pawn, like, a lot of the common types you're going to go into Calyrex with, you're now resisting with the Dragon Terra. It's not good in the mirror. And I think that's why you really need the Milotic with the Safeguard, because in the mirror, you can just go with the Kali and the Amoongus, and there's, like, no, like, you can't Terra out of it. You can't Terra away from the Amoongus. It can be a little rough there. So the parts are putting together. Carter, last team.
Oh, it has to be my last one?
Screw it. We'll do two more. Okay. What's the next one?
So you know how this format is, like, super hyper offensive, right?
Yes.
What if I told you I found a team that says no?
And who ran that team this week?
This is Anthony McGail. They are, I believe, in 5-4.
Yep, top 128. Yep. What a sick man. Anthony.
Yeah, I saw this team. Anthony, so sick.
Before we go into this, my DMs are open. I will get you a good therapist. We can get through whatever is bothering you.
Anthony, you keep doing what you're doing.
You live your best life.
This is what I'm talking about.
Awesome.
This is a stall team with two protects.
And there's two fissures! Two fissures!
I love the fire spin and sands too.
Alright, I need to call Anthony up. I need to get him on the Fizzy Wizzy Glizzy channel.
This is fantastic. I love this. I love that there's no toxic, but, like, oh.
There's no toxic. There's no What is the water? The water
whirlpool. Yeah. I mean, we have infestation. So
yeah, but, like, binding ban, whirlpool, infestation. Stop. Talk nice to me. All right.
Oh, this toxic effects is so funny.
I love this.
This is so funny.
This is the opposite of Pelipper with me, because, like, you guys are like, this is great. And I know that, Jay, you are the vice president of Big Stall.
Hell yeah, brother.
Carter, you're Carter.
I read Gargadazzle, Amoongus, Tinglu, Orthworm at a freaking regional, right? I am Big Stall, baby.
Eternatus Stall is my favorite, like... It's so funny. I love it.
I hate it so much.
I knew when me and Carter played in Series 10 that he, for the room, I knew that was the team he was bringing. I just knew it. And, like, and it's so disgusting. We played this game 2 went to timer because he was stalling me so hard with the Cosmic Power Recovery Eternatus. It was nuts.
It's so funny. Is Fire Spin new on Eternatus?
I think so.
Maybe. You have Sand Tomb, you have Fire Spin, you have Infestation, you have multiple fissures, you have Yawn.
This is so great. I love this.
Anthony, hit me up. All right.
Fire Spin is new on Eternatus.
That's awesome.
Let's talk. Let's get him on.
Well,
Angelo, you're a social media guy. Get a hold.
Yeah, I'll find him and let him know that give him the link to my therapist and let him know that my co-hosts want to be sickos with him.
Yeah, we'll go to therapy.
Last team.
I have one more. It wouldn't be an episode with me on talking about a regional if we didn't talk about Jamie Boyd. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so
dream day one.
So when when I saw this on stream, I texted Chris. I was like, "Hey, what do you think Jamie takes before he builds teams? Like, is it legal? Because I don't think it is.
He's on them perks.
This is a team. Like, when I saw this, I mean, I don't even know what the Electric Seed, Terra Ground, so for me." This Grimmsnarl speaks to me. I play a similar, I've played non-screens Grimms with, the fake tiers, foul play, or, dark coverage. Like, I've done that before. That was normal to me. And then you're like, okay, the Chandler, what? I get it.
That's the simplest way to explain it. It's just, what?
I mean... We can give the same answer as we did to Sylvan.
It really is the same thing, and it
but now
is
you get Trick Room support.
It is, and I think it's just understanding Jamie probably making a meta call, seeing that last week everyone going into Stockholm, people were saying we expect Koridon and Zamazenta to be doing better because Koridon and Zamazenta have great matchups into the Calyrex Ice, and they have great matchups into the Terrapagos. And one of those things came true, the other didn't. But adding a ghost type with fire coverage is a great way to, if you think the meta's going to go one way, you can tech this in and have that answer to that potential meta change. I don't know what Serperior is a good Pokemon. In theory, with Contrary Leaf Storm, in practice, it felt pretty mediocre, or at least it seemed pretty mediocre on stream.
Yeah, it got a bad matchup with the Terrifier Groudon, but I'm not convinced on. I mean, this is Jamie Boyd we're talking about.
Yeah.
It also does need to be said that he was 5-1 when he went on stream, and then he finished 5-4. So it was the higher tables were definitely a tough time for this team overall. To even get 5 wins with a team like this is just
insane,
astounding
just
to me.
Bananas.
And again, it's like every single team of his I see, because you just know that, okay, this is the only person to really understand it. And I know, for stuff his EUIC, he's released, how he builds his teams and how he tests his teams and on video. And it's really fascinating. I think if you haven't watched, he puts out a lot of content. I think he's still putting out some of his EUIC stuff. Give it a watch. It's just good to see how a top-level player is able to approach team building. And if you are someone who you want to go and again try to figure out how can I use Serperior, how can I use Chandelure, look at how Jamie builds, because I think in terms of grabbing but finding niche roles for 1% usage bonds, it's Jamie and Hamster Manny are probably the two best at it right now. At figuring out how to creatively yet properly use these Pokemon in these formats.
I think Kutesh might be on a different level of perk than Boyd at times.
Big time.
Some of the stuff that he puts together.
Well, that's the team that the Belly Bolt team Bruno's been using. He says I just talked with Kutesh about this.
Yeah, and he said that didn't have our Orthworm catching another stray, Bruno.
If you haven't listened to the Bruno episode, it came out last week on the Little Root Record, where he did make his statement and apology to Jay.
I apology is accepted. Okay, not fully, but enough. But yeah, one more thing before we get out of here. What if I told you that two Toxapex made the one top 120?
Yeah! Are we going to another?
No, we don't have to go to it, but Toxapex Ho-Oh plus Sand made it.
What was the name?
Daniel Mraz. Also 5-4 towards the bottom.
Absolutely nutty.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious. Yeah, I love it.
Nothing needs to be said about this team, but that's crazy. A big weekend for Toxapex. Toxapex stocks are going up.
I don't like it. Nope, not doing it. At least this, okay, why, like, this is a different, this is a less degenerate set, still not doing it. Also, use the black sludge, not the lefties. You get more recovery. Yeah, actually, no, if you Terra, yeah.
If you Terra out of it, which you probably have to quite a bit with it.
Probably.
But, yeah, I think with that, that has been the episode.
Yeah,
this was a wild one.
It was a fun one. Actually, before we go, I do want to say one thing. I know we've been doing plugging a lot of our videos. Carter, congratulations on posting your first scripted Genlock episode.
Thank you.
It's a great listen. Jay, you're killing it with the draft stuff, and this is a two-parter for me. First, Dad, congratulations on the birth of your third child. We are so proud of you. And if you want to listen to my interview with Dad, we did about 40-ish minutes on the Little Record. It's coming out the Wednesday following this podcast. We get to talk about a lot of stuff with passers, with being a competitive player. And it's honestly probably like that was like one of my proudest moments of content I've created is putting that together. And so if you not even just support, screw supporting me, like do it to support Dad, because he gives so much to this community and he built like one of the most important tools that everyone in this community uses. He built. So if you use passers, listen to the episode as your thank you to its creator.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you can go, Jay.
On top of Pokemon stocks going up, the channel stocks are going way up. We went from uploading just the podcast every week to now we have 4 to 5 ongoing series that are releasing throughout the week. So there's tons of content on the way. Make sure you guys, you know, hit the subscribe and then turn on notifications so you guys can get notified on when we post, because it's coming a lot. There's a lot of episodes coming your way.
Jay's got his 2 draft leagues.
Yeah.
My goal for the Genlock is like probably 1 a month. The Crystal is the video for Crystal was recorded. I need to go in and start writing the script. So I know Carl has access to the videos. He's talked about going in and starting to cut all that down because it is a lot. I played it double speed and it's still like 7 hours of video or something.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a lot.
I don't envy your gen locking, so
no, not at all.
And the scripted videos, we all know that my videos end up just being I record it and then I send it to Carl and then he says,
and Carl makes it look good.
That's literally what mine are.
He literally just sends it like right out almost. He just like cuts out the bits where I'm sitting there doing nothing. So
sitting there picking your nose. Yeah.
Yeah. Picking my nose, playing with the cat, just
making
just
fun of Iron Hands.
And saying unhinged stuff. I need to join Nils and be on Mike Band for a couple weeks.
That's the thing. They didn't put him on Mike Band. Like, he was like, oh, here's a hot mic. I'm like,
yeah,
are you sure about that?
I mean, we didn't either, but like, I need to, right? Like somebody needs to put their foot down. I'm not gonna do it.
Someone's got to, but Lord knows it's not gonna be me.
No. Sure as hell won't be me. But with that, thank you so much for watching this episode. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe, comment why you think Big Stall is back and better than ever.
Stall stonks are rising, baby.
Hell yeah. Join the fight on Big Stall, on the side of Big Stall. All right. Your country will be very happy with you. Make sure you guys come and join the community Discord. Come and hang out with all of us. We can talk about all of our Stall love and crazy takes. and insane comments that we dropped throughout the episode. You can also point out how I where I said a Chief Keef reference last episode. Make sure you guys go follow the Twitter at LR Lessons. We post all of our videos that come out over there. Angelo does a great job. And check out the Discord and Patreon supporters links. Shout out to Johnny Bravo Sr. and Papa Swish for your support on Patreon. And shout out to Smeargle for your support on Discord. With that, that has been episode number 219. And we will see you all in 220. Peace out.